From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo instructs TNI to help evacuate Indonesian citizens in Wuhan. The United Kingdom will strengthen cooperation in the financial sector with Indonesia. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo, through his spokesman Fajrul Rahman, on Friday ordered Chief of the Indonesian Armed Forces, TNI, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, to send troops to pick up Indonesian citizens in Wuhan City, Hubei Province, China, which is currently the center of the coronavirus outbreak. The options for the evacuation process are planned to use 3 aircraft owned by the TNI, similar to Hercules, for one departure, or to use civilian aircraft that require more than one departure. A total of 243 citizens were reported to be in the cities of Xianning, Huangzi, Xiangxiang, and Xi'an, Hubei Province. Meanwhile, the Chinese Indonesian Students Association, located in Wuhan City, claimed 93 students and Indonesian citizens are still in Wuhan City, although it is claimed that no Indonesian citizens was detected by the coronavirus. President Jokowi instructed all relevant ministries to increase their ability to respond, to prevent, and to detect global pandemic outbreaks through nuclear, biological, and chemical techniques. Indonesia has a lot of potential to invest, one of which is the financial sector. This was affirmed by the British ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Owen Jenkins, at a press conference at the British Embassy in Jakarta on Friday.
I think the financial sector is important. President Jokowi has been very clear that Indonesia wants more foreign investment, wants to attract more foreign investment. London is one of the world's global centres for mobilising finance, and I think it would be a real shame if we don't manage to strengthen relations in that area, including drawing on London's real strengths in green finance and Islamic finance, as the biggest centre for Islamic finance outside the Islamic world itself.
Ambassador Jenkins added that the UK also wants to strengthen cooperation in the tourism sector because British citizens aid the biggest contributors to Indonesia's foreign exchange in the tourism sector compared to South Korea and China. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said in Jakarta on Friday that the evacuation effort of Indonesian citizens from Wuhan has entered the final process. Previously, President Jokowi had ordered his aides to immediately evacuate Indonesian citizens from Wuhan, Hubei Province, which is being attacked by coronavirus outbreak. Speaking before the journalists at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs building, Minister Retno explained that she had met Chinese ambassador to Indonesia, Xiao Qian, to discuss about aircraft landing permits that would be used for the evacuation of Indonesian citizens.
Sesuai dengan instruksi Bapak Presiden untuk dapat mengevakuasi WNI kita dari Wuhan secepatnya.
In accordance with the President's instructions regarding the evacuation of our Indonesian citizens from Wuhan as soon as possible, well, the preparation for evacuation of the citizens from Wuhan is now in its final stages. This morning, I met Chinese ambassador in Jakarta, who had conveyed the landing clearance and movement of aircraft for the evacuation of the Indonesian citizens from Hubei province. In this regard, we would like to express our appreciation for the cooperation that has been given by the Chinese government. Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that the aircraft that would be used to pick up Indonesian citizens in Wuhan would depart within 24 hours. She also ensured that the process of gathering Indonesian citizens spread across a number of points keeps being carried out. The Foreign Policy Community of Indonesia, FCPI, held a panel discussion on Friday on climate diplomacy. The panel also discussed whether the disappointment of the COP, Conference of Parties 25 in Madrid, will turn into progress at the COP 26 to be held in November 2020 in Glasgow, Scotland. The panel consisted of CEO lead negotiator for Article 6 of Paris Agreement Mukti Handayani Sujahmun, Director for Development, Economic and Environmental Affairs Agustaviano Sofian, Senior Economist and Research Associate of World Research Institute WRI Indonesia, Sony Mumbunan and the Ambassador of the European Union to Indonesia, and Brunei Darussalam Vincent Piquet. The panel was moderated by Dino Patijalal, the founder of FCPI. Director Agustaviano was very optimistic about Indonesia's plan for its NDC, nationally determined contributions target, and says the country is very vulnerable to climate change and hence it is very committed to the Paris Agreement.
For Indonesia, I think we are still committed with our commitment with Paris Agreement, and that's why Indonesia's NDC target is 29% and 41% if supported by international by 2030. For Indonesia, we have already our NDCs and we are going to be committed with that. It is ambitious, yes, but we need to set these targets. For Indonesia, we are committed. For Indonesia as an archipelago of states, the coastline, which is the second longest coastline in the world, we are vulnerable to climate change. If there is a sea level rise, it will affect the coastal people. It will affect their livelihoods. That's why we are committed in trying to tackle climate change.
The COP25 at Madrid drew a lot of criticism for not coming to an agreement about Article 6 of the Paris Agreement. According to the International Chamber of Commerce, ICC, Article 6 of the Paris Agreement aims at promoting integrated, holistic, and balanced approaches that will assist governments in implementing their NDCs through voluntary international cooperation. Further, according to the ICC, under this mechanism, countries with low emissions would be allowed to sell their exceeding allowances to larger emitters, with an overall cap of greenhouse gas emissions, ensuring their net reduction. Supply and demand for emissions allowances would lead to the establishment of global carbon price. It is hoped that the COP26, which is to be held in Glasgow later this year, would make up for disappointing lack of commitment shown by the participants in COP25. Alisa Wahid, daughter of the third President of the Republic of Indonesia, Abdurrahman Wahid, met Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi in Jakarta on Friday. Alisa explained that the meeting was meant to discuss the arrival of the head of the Catholic Church and sovereign of the Vatican City-State, Pope Francis, who plans to tour Southeast Asia in mid-2020. At the Jakarta Ministry of the Religions office on Friday, Alisa hoped the government would make the best possible reception, because the arrival of Pope Francis might be a good moment for the brotherhood among religious believers in Indonesia. Pope Francis, according to Alisa, will socialize the Abu Dhabi document. The spirit of interfaith brotherhood in the document is considered in line with Indonesia's current needs. Starting Friday, the United Kingdom or UK officially ended nearly half of a century of integration with its closest neighbors and ended its membership with the European Union bloc. The UK began a new chapter in its long history right at midnight in Brussels. The UK becomes the first country to leave the European Union bloc and runs it on its own for the first time since 1973. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has supported Brexit since the 2016 referendum vote to leave the European Union bloc, which almost sparked split. He has promised to lead the country to a bright future. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
The first news comes from Bengkalis District, Riau Province. In Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province, the peak of the 2571-2020 Chinese New Year celebration was the sixth day celebration in Sungai Pakning City, Bukit Batu District, Bengkalis. It started with a ritual at the Hokkien Kiong Temple, accompanied by the booming drums and other musical instruments played by a number of children of Chinese descent. After the ritual was completed, the participants then paraded towards Sungai Pakning with the sound of firecrackers that along the road to the celebration venue. In the parade, participants brought a number of flag attributes of various colors and shapes, and participants who were possessed by the spirit of gods were walking while accompanied by drum beats. There were participants who took use palanquin, which had a statue of God inside. Next news comes from Bandung, West Java. Two solar tree units were installed in the Taman Alun-Alun Bandung area, West Java, by Bandung Mayor Odette M. Daniel last Thursday. Solar tree is a solar power generation system shaped like a tree with electrical energy that can be utilized for lighting lamps and charging electronic equipment without electricity from the electricity company PLN. The installation of the solar tree is a form of concern of the Bandung City Government in the utilization of solar energy, one of the renewable energy that is environmentally friendly. Solar tree in Bandung City Square is a CSR or Corporate Social Responsibility Program of PT Land Industry Persero in collaboration with the Department of Housing and Settlement Land and Parks of Bandung City. This news comes from the district of North Toraja, South Sulawesi. The district currently has 17 leading tourist destinations. North Toraja Head of Culture and Tourism Harley Pariyatno said last Thursday that North Toraja has 300 attractions and 17 of them are leading tourism objects such as Keteke, Sulonda, Kalimbong, Bori, Sadang Barana, and Palawa. The most visited by foreign and domestic tourists are the attraction of Ketukesu, which is a traditional house area of Tongkonan, and the Hanging Stone Cemetery. As for the facilities and infrastructures needed at the location, there are various shops of trinkets, also a mosque. This was done as part of efforts to support government programs in realizing halal tourism programs, so that in the future it is expected that the number of visitors to North Toraja will be even greater. Well, that was news from Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin Today in History with the event of 1st of February 1997, when Ayatollah Khomeini came back to Iran. Sayyid Ruhollah Mousavi Khomeini, well known in Western world as Ayatollah Khomeini, is a religious leader and Muslim politician of Shia Iran. On 1 February 1979, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini came back to Iran after 14 days. He was deported to France. He had been a revolution leader of Iran in 1979, who witnessed the overthrow of Shah Iran. After the revolution, Khomeini became the highest leader in Iran, a position created in the constitutions of Iran as supreme political and religious authority in the country he led until he passed away. Let's move on the event of 1 February 2003 that Colombian Space Shuttle exploded. Colombian Space Shuttle owned by the United States exploded in the air while it would land at the Kennedy Space Station Center, Florida, United States on February 1, 2003. 7 Colombian crew astronauts were killed. U.S. National Space Agency or NASA official mentioned the accident occurred when the aircraft produced in 1981, was at an altitude of 60,000 feet from Earth with speed of 20,000 kilometers per hour. Before it exploded, the aircraft had just completed its 28th mission after taking off on January 16, 2003. When today in history, with the event of February 1, 2005, when Nepal's King Gyanendra dissolved the government. King Gyanendra had dissolved the government, declared an emergency bill, and made Nepal isolated from the international community by disconnecting all communication links. However, King Gyanendra denied that he carried out a coup. He stated that he dissolved Prime Minister Sher Bahadur Deuba's government because of failing to conduct the elections and put an end to the Maoist rebellion that killed thousands of people. And listener, that was today in history.
memikirkan dirimu.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on OJK reports on the progress of sustainable financial programs. Chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Financial Services Authority, or OJK, Wimbo Santoso, stated that the development of sustainable financial programs in Indonesia has achieved much in accordance with the target. The authority press release on Wednesday, January the 29th, said that Wimbo delivered the report during two events in the series of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development Conference in Boulogne, France, Tuesday local time. He was asked to present the opening remarks at the Trihita Karana Roadmap at the conference Private Finance for Sustainable Development Conference and was the closing speaker at the Roundtable on Country Platform Collaboration held by the Sustainable Development Investment Partnership. Wimbo said that the Sustainable Banking Network Global Progress Report last year announced that Indonesia was in the position of two of the world's top countries that had reached a mature stage in the development and reform of sustainable finance. According to him, this was achieved partly because all commercial banks, except one, had complied with sustainable financial regulation by submitting their action plans in implementing sustainable financial principles. Wimbo ensured this provision would be followed by the other one bank a year from now. He explained the development of sustainable finance in the banking sector was running by increasing the portfolio to finance sustainability projects such as green buildings, ecotourism, renewable energy, organic agriculture, and sustainable infrastructure projects. The portfolio achievement in the category of sustainable business activities in 2019 reached around 763 trillion rupiahs or 9% of the total financing distributed. According to Wimbo, these figures indicate an increase in market confidence in sustainable project financing. Currently, the Financial Services Authority is developing a blended finance scheme that is a financing process involving the private sector and the financial services industry as one of the alternative solutions for financing various projects in driving an environmentally friendly economy but suitable for private investors including in Indonesia. As a regulator in the financial services sector, OJK, or the authority, views the development of a blended finance scheme as very important not only to encourage the financing of economic development projects, but also in ensuring that development takes into account environmental aspects. To that end, the authority is ready to build the ecosystem that are needed to reform regulations and adjust to condition on the ground so that the financing of the scheme can be accepted and attract global investor. Well, that was my Indonesia today on Financial Services Authority reports on the progress of sustainable financial programs. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
padamu.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce you Nasi Ura, the traditional food of North Sumatra. Stay tuned. Nasi Ura is known as the sushi of North Sumatran people. The food comes from Tapanuli, which is an area surrounding Lake Toba. Nasi Ura is one of traditional Bataknese cuisines, which is famous for its ingredient, namely raw fish. The fish is not cooked, but it is only marinated. In Bataknese language, Nasi Ura means fermented fish. In the past, Nasi Ura was served for the kings. One of them was King Sisingamangaraja. Therefore, not all people were allowed to cook the cuisine. Only chefs were allowed to make it. However, with the passage of time, now almost all Bataknese people can cook it. Even recently, Nasi Ura has been more popular among international tourists because one of its spices is called Andaliman. The taste of Nasi Ura is very bitter on the tongue, but the spices make your lips warm, especially when you complement the dish with some carbonated or alcoholic drink such as local beer known as tuak, which is made from nira. You will be more satisfied with its taste. Usually, Nasi Ura is eaten as snack while drinking the tuak. Nasi Ura is rich in flavors. The sweetness, the pungency of the spices, and the bitterness of Andaliman are perfect combination for our tongue. Nasi Ura can be found in several areas across North Sumatra, particularly in tourism attractions surrounding Lake Toba. Some restaurants even allow their visitors to look at the process of making Nasi Ura. Cooking Nasi Ura is quite complicated. You can use any kind of fish such as goldfish and tilapia fish. You have to marinate the fish in fermented water called jungga for 4 to 5 hours. You can also add some spices such as burnt candlenut, garlic, onion, pepper, ginger, turmeric, and chili. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Nasi Ura, the traditional food of North Sumatra. I'm Berisa Fitri Adala. Sampai jumpa.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
rasa itu menggoda. Kau masuki hati.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, the tourism area in the Dieng Plateau is famous for its natural beauty and its temple. However, scattered tourist destinations make visitors have to buy admission tickets at each place of visit. To overcome this, now the tourism authority in the Dieng Plateau has updated the ticketing system using the electronic ticketing system. With this system, visitors do not need to bother anymore to buy tickets directly to the place. The application of this electronic ticket is valid for the Arjuna Temple Complex and Sikidang Crater. If at this time the Dieng Plateau region has implemented a ticket in the form of a barcode, in the application of this electronic ticketing system, it can make it easier for tourists to order tickets to enter the Dieng Plateau tourist area anywhere and anytime. It is the government of Banjarnegara Regency Central Java, which is currently preparing to implement an electronic ticketing system in the Dieng Plateau tourism area. Banjarnegara Regent Budi Sarwono said the electronic ticket application system was in order to improve services for tourists. The Banjarnegara District Government also plans to beautify existing facilities and infrastructure in Dieng to increase tourist interest. In addition, a rest area will be built in the Dieng Main Line area. Of course, it is expected that the various programs carried out will be able to increase the number of tourist visits to Dieng and bring good impact to the community in the local area. Banjarnegara Regent Budi Sarwono believes that with the increasing number of tourists coming, it will be better for the economy of its citizens. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today about Dieng Plateau region apply e-ticketing. I'm Puri Safir Adela. See you next time. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Petir, which was composed by Sariwono. This keroncong song tells about someone who tries to keep her promise to meet her lover. Even though it rains heavily and there is thunder, she still goes to meet her lover. Well, listener, here is Mira Tania with keroncong song entitled Petir, or in English, means thunder.
Manakah kamu?
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Kau cinta sejatiku. Apa kabar dengan dirimu di sana dan di mana dirimu sekarang. Aku ingin jumpa, tapi ku tahu itu tidak mungkin. Kau meninggalkan aku di saat ku mulai jatuh hati padamu. Dan kini tetes air mata terjatuh dan aku hanya bisa menangis untukmu.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.